Today's Ringer NBA show is brought to you by Crown Caliber. Real watch guys don't pay retail, and frankly, neither should you. Crown Caliber is the smartest way to buy or sell your luxury watch. You know what a certified pre-owned means when purchasing a luxury automobile. Now with Crown Caliber, you have the same level of confidence when buying or selling or a certified pre-owned luxury watch. To find the perfect watch for you, visit crownandcaliber.com/NBA show, or to speak to one of their watch experts, call 888-226-5795. Remember, that's 888-226-5795. In that way, you'll learn more about Crown and Caliber. Plus, now through August 30th, listeners who enter promo code CCNBAshow will receive $150 off their first luxury watch. That's a pretty good deal. Remember, purchase with Crown and Caliber. Today's podcast is also brought to you by the new HBO series Any Given Wednesday with Bill Simmons. Hey, that's my boss, and honestly, my friend. Love, Bill. The new show will feature intimate conversations with compelling guests from the worlds of pop culture, sports, entertainment, the arts, and technology. Any Given Wednesday with Bill Simmons will also include field segments and Simmons' signature commentary on current events. Make sure to watch Any Given Wednesday with Bill Simmons, premiering Wednesday, June 22nd at 10 p.m. on HBO. We're also brought to you by our new website, TheRinger.com, presented by Miller Lite. Go now and check out the latest in pop culture, sports, and tech at TheRinger.com. I swear you're not going to regret it. I think the site is pretty good. I may be biased as the managing editor, but hey, what do I know? And last but not least, we just wanted to mention that we have a whole bunch of other podcasts. This is the NBA show, but you can also listen to the NFL show, the MLB show, KPN 1600 for all your political interests, and Channel 33, as always. You can also find me there, Juliet Littman. And don't forget about Shack House and the Bill Simmons pod. We got pods on pods on pods. And now, let's get into it, people. Welcome to the Ringer NBA show. I'm Juliet Littman.
I'm Chris Ryan.
I'm Tate Frazier.
Game 3 of the NBA Finals was last night, and we are here for a quickie pod to talk about the winners and losers coming out of Game 3. No Miguel?
With the quickie.
Oh, okay, cool. What's your favorite Miguel song, Tate?
Quickie.
Okay, cool.
You can ask me, or...
Yeah, Chris, what's your favorite Miguel song?
I don't know what the name of it is, but it's the one that sounds like 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. Let's move on. Do we want to talk all finals, winners and losers, or just Game 3?
Let's do Game 3.
Okay. Yeah.
Fresh in our minds.
Tate, hit us with your first winner.
Winner, home court advantage.
Ooh. Conceptual winner. Like yeah.
Tell me more, Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah. Basically, Cleveland just can't lose at home, you know? It's been a 52-year drought, and they're 13-0, which is an unlucky number. So.
Well, it was, and that was coming off of being 0-7 in their last seven against the Warriors.
Yeah.
Right? So they'd lost seven straight against the Warriors, which I actually was thinking about this last night. I was like, they're not going to... I mean, you can't lose nine in a row or whatever.
No.
That would be a lot.
I don't think anyone expected the Warriors to win Game 3. Maybe not lose by 30. I didn't. I always thought the Cavs would get one.
I thought they
were
going to go for the kill. And I also thought that that would be like a great historical statement to be like, we swept in the finals. So, like, we're the best.
I'm glad you brought up history because I don't think the Warriors have played like an historically great team in months. When's the last time they had a great game, team game? Can you name it?
I mean, I guess...
Would you say Game 6?
I mean, Game 6 against the Thunder, but
that was a Clay game.
Yeah,
that was a Clay game, guys. That was Clay. Yeah. That was Clay!
Give Clay his due. Yeah, I mean, Game 6, even Game 7, I felt like the Thunder were going to come back in that game somehow.
Yeah.
They had it together.
I mean, I guess great teams find a way to win, and that's what we're seeing. But I feel like you got to go to the regular season for like what we think of as like the Warriors' greatness.
Just carving people apart. I think that part of the problem with that is that great Warriors games often end in the second quarter.
Right.
Yeah.
Or in the beginning of the third. And they'll just have like an explosion of a 22-0 run. And you're right. Just like, oh, well, the game's over.
I guess you could say Game 2 was like that.
Yeah.
If that's your... Yeah. But I guess that kind of gets to maybe a potential loser from last night. We haven't had like a Steph breakout since the Blazers series.
So show of hands, verbally, who thinks Steph is 75% right now?
I guess I do, but like, why would he deny that he's not?
Because
he's not
I do
healthy?
Think that there is a degree to which the narrative is. I understand why it wouldn't be advantageous for them to. I think it would be advantageous if they were like, this guy's gutting it out, mm-hmm. and instead they're like, he's fine. But yeah. His body language sucks. He seems to drift in and out of games.
Kerr pulled him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kerr benched Stephen Curry, like the unanimous MVP in Game 3 last night in Cleveland. I mean, that's a pretty big storyline. So I personally don't think that it has to do with him being hurt. I think it has a lot to do with, I think he's annoyed. I think people are really, like, chipping him hard and he's tired of it.
Yeah. He's not getting a ton of calls. Last night he went to the free throw line, like, once, right?
Yeah.
And not until the third quarter?
Yeah, and I think he's frustrated and he's not getting those calls and he's in Cleveland and LeBron is, like, definitely trying to send a message.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my first winner was LeBron. Not only did LeBron get his... It's not even his jumper was better last night than it has been and it's been pretty bad, but it seemed like he made jumpers at the times when he needed to.
Sure.
There was a transition three from the top of the key that he hit that was a very like, oh, okay.
Like, yeah. He's like a feeling at three.
And everybody sagged off of him on it. It was like everybody like ran straight to the hoop and he had like 10 seconds to think about taking the three and he nailed it.
Yeah.
And he really, from the national anthem on, put it like where it was like, if we're going to lose, it's going to be embarrassing for me because I'm doing the like, everybody get hyped up, everybody key off me, I'm going to lead us to victory. And if they had lost, that would have been like kind of the end of the chapter of the LeBron era in some ways. You know, I mean, he has to will them to win. So LeBron would be my first winner.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great dominant LeBron performance last night. Like, not only
32, right?
32, and then like on every dead ball, he was barking orders. He wasn't letting Steph make dead ball shots. That was a great. That
and
was a great
like
moment.
You were saying, he was. I think they have mic'd up footage or something of him yelling like, whoever he guards gets the ball.
At Steph. Yeah. He was like he was just trying to like send a statement the whole time. And then in this press conference, he was like, he's the greatest shooter of all time, which is like, shooter's now the way to like put Steph down, like subtly. He's like, he's not the greatest player, but he's the greatest shooter. And I just love like...
That's kind of true though.
Yeah. Petty LeBron's great though.
I like Petty LeBron too. It's more fun than like professional LeBron. One note about LeBron. He was wearing like a suit last night that just looked really hot. Like, dude, it's June.
Like warm.
Yeah. Like, he just looks like he was probably schwitzing a lot.
He had a lot of buttons on that suit.
Yeah.
I was like, this man's buttoned up, straight up, literally buttoned up.
Yeah, like, that's like a February outfit, not a June outfit. Yeah. Like, get out your linen suit, some seersucker, perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe he's trying to be a hedge against the Durant-Westbrook juvenilification. Of post-game wear.
I think he dresses very French. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the streets of Paris or something.
With D.L.
Yeah, with Bobo. Just drinking some fine wines. Tate, hit me with a loser.
Loser, Harrison Barnes.
Ooh, tell me more.
18 points. And it always feels like every time Harrison has, like, a big game where he's, like, the predominant scorer for the Warriors, everyone else no-shows. And it just, like, makes it look even worse. It's like, oh, Harrison's having a great game while the Warriors are getting crushed.
It's like garbage time.
He can't carry them to a win.
He did well, like, in the first few quarters when it was still competitive.
He kept them. He hung them around. Like, whenever he's the reason they're hanging around, it's like, this is not good
for
the Warriors.
It's a problem. Right. Yeah. I have a question about Harrison Barnes that I'm hoping you guys can answer. Why don't the Warriors like ever commit to him or use him properly in the second half of games? Like, it's not just a trust thing. Like, I think it's also strategic. Like, can you explain that to me a little bit?
I think, I mean, Harrison's hit some huge shots. He hit that three against the Rockets to like send it to overtime when, you know, Steph had his finally like, we're the Warriors, we're back kind of game.
He's an important cog in their system.
Yeah, but in the second half, it's just like they kind of get down to the bare minimum of like, we need Steph, Clay, Draymond. Like, they get centralized, and like Harrison was supposed to be that third guy, and Draymond like took his spot. And that's why Harrison's always been the odd man out, and that's why he's probably going to leave.
I mean, this could be the end of the Death lineup, this series.
Sure, they might.
Then you add Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, Kevin Durant, what is death if Kevin Durant is coming?
Is this true? I guess the death lineup lives on. It's not really dependent upon Harrison Barnes, right? It's just like a forward who can hit threes.
Yeah. Well, so the death lineup kind of was popularized in last year at the finals when an assistant coach on the Warriors, Nick Uren, went to Kerr and was like, you should play Iguodala instead of Bogut in this lineup. And that was where they just shut down the Cavs and everybody was like, well, that's the most effective five-man lineup we've ever seen. This year, we had another assistant coach stepping up and making a suggestion, not really a tactical one, but Phil Handy on the Cavs is one of my winners. He apparently went up to those guys after game two and was like, you guys just got punked. And you could see, like, he really, like, tore the paint off the walls, apparently, after game two. He's from Oakland. He was apparently embarrassed to get like to have his team get
hit his whole family there. He's like, man,
jacked in Oakland like that. So he apparently like really read them the riot act.
He probably was pissed because the tickets were so expensive.
Yeah, I know.
And he paid for all of them.
He's like, that's 20 G's.
Yeah,
probably like to get his whole family to go to the game. It was reported that the Warriors were offering tickets to the Cavs at $1,300 each. Like, that's insane.
That's crazy.
That's more than Hamilton tickets cost.
What a heat check from Lacob, but still.
What a dick.
Yeah,
move.
Phil Handy was apparently like really gave them the rah-rah, and they came out and they definitely, like, I think we had talked about this before. If it's like, if you're gonna lose, don't lose like being turnstiles and like watching those guys do like three-man weaves. Like,
yeah,
it's like hit, make somebody hit the deck, you know what yeah. I mean?
Which Mozgov did.
I just say, do you consider Mozgov a winner or a loser for taking out Clay?
I was gonna say Mozgov is definitely a winner, you know. He's just like imposing his will on this series.
Clay is a
counterpoint. He didn't. Clay came back to the game. Didn't work.
Clay is a loser for saying that was dirty.
Clay's never a loser.
And he's recanted those statements, right? Today he was like, I guess I watched it. You know, and Clay's like, I watched the tape and now I don't think.
Sheesh.
It wasn't as bad as I thought.
Sheesh.
I almost broke my leg.
I wish I could like walk around with a soundboard and just hit that sheesh whenever I need it.
You can't have like sweep the leg Johnny Draymond Green on your team and right. be like Timothy Mozgov, who played like 2 minutes since
definitely,
January is yeah. the problem.
Definitely seemed incidental. Upon reviewing the tape, it seemed incidental.
Yeah.
But I just feel like Mozgov just can't get anything right.
I
can't
really
even
thought
take
Clay,
out Clay.
I thought Clay was pretty hurt though.
I was worried he had like Westbrook from the
Kyrie from last year.
Yeah, I thought yeah. I was worried, or I was worried like it was like a meniscus thing or something. But I'm glad he came back. I just hope he's okay for the rest of the series, because if Steph is no showing, then you really need Clay for the Warriors. I don't really know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for Clay, but like I don't know between these teams. It's kind of fun to watch LeBron just be so dominant.
Yeah.
Can I do another winner?
Absolutely.
J.R. Earl Smith Jr.
Yeah.
Huge game for J.R. last night.
Yeah, we wrote about this on TheRinger.com. Check it out.
Jason Concepcion with a great piece about J.R. just, you know, the first two games, it was the first time Jason feels like he'd ever seen him be scared.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Like, that look of fear doesn't come from him very frequently.
Right.
It looked like his mind was empty. Like, and goes, he's like, what is happening around me?
Is that a home court thing though? Like, was he comfortable because he was back at
he's
home?
Jet lagged.
I don't know. Maybe
I hope he was hungover. That's what I was hoping. I was
in
like,
Oakland.
Yeah, I hope he was just having a good time at like tech parties, like on his hoverboard, and was like, man, I definitely don't want to play in these games.
I feel like JR at this point though is like Led Zeppelin in the 70s. Like, he probably plays better hungover.
Yeah,
he's so experienced with it.
Although I don't know, he said when he got to Cleveland, he really focused on basketball. He stopped going out, so maybe that was the problem.
No, it might have been because of Cleveland.
Yeah
that's what I'm saying. I don't think San Francisco or Oakland are really fun cities to party in, but they probably have more options than Cleveland.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, just throwing it out there. We haven't talked about your man Kyrie, Tate.
Yeah.
Winner or loser?
A winner.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah, great game by Kyrie. He pretty much had to have that game. LeBron was like high-fiving him and stuff, which is nice. I mean, it's good for Kyrie. It's good for Cleveland. I feel like next game he's going to get roasted, but, you know.
I guess so. He was really into playing defense last night.
Like, yeah, he tried really hard.
Yeah, he did.
I was really proud of him. We talked about how he didn't look like he ever cared. You know,
yeah.
Like, it didn't affect him. Last night, it affected him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about the biggest loser, probably.
Stephen Curry?
No, Kevin Love.
Oh, Kevin Love.
Yeah.
He's such a loser, I forgot about him. I was actually going to ask, what's a bigger move? Putting Iguodala in the lineup last year or taking Kevin Love out of the lineup this year?
Well, I think the Iguodala thing led to the creation of one of the great top two regular season teams of all time. You know, the mm-hmm. greatest record and one of the best ever. But if they win Friday and let's say like Love is cleared but plays like 10 minutes or 15 minutes for precaution or whatever, like, I don't know, man.
It's really bad.
I mean,
for
do you
him.
Think Ty Lue goes to David Griffin? Here's a hypothetical. Goes to David Griffin's like, you're going to get rid of this guy. His trade value will only go down if he sucks and we lose and it's his fault. Let's just say his head isn't right. Like, he's got a bad concussion.
And hold him out.
And like, it won't be his fault. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. That's a lot of that's a kind of like the humane way to handle it. Like, pretend he's injured.
Well, it's also pretty nefarious too, because you basically. I mean, I don't know. It sounded like Love was like, I can go, I can do it.
Was,
and the Cavs doctor, in conjunction with the NBA, but the Cavs doctor was like, no.
Yeah, it was weird because like Windhorse was on ESPN and was like, he was like, he's been bumped to questionable. Kevin Love is pretty much set on playing. He passed the last protocol without any setback. He'll play. And that was before game three.
Right.
And then it was like the doctors have decided he can't play. And then he was like apparently trying to like pander to the doctors and say, I can play. It's just a weird thing. And then now.
It's also wild that he couldn't sit on the bench.
Yeah. I was going to say, why wasn't he on the bench?
I guess he was in the locker room. And to be fair, like we're making it sound like so dark, but those guys were all having they were like, Lil Kev is definitely going to make some appearances on Snapchat tonight. Like, it sounds like they weren't like, Kevin Love is a loser and he's not part of this team or anything. I'm just saying that like, they just looked like a completely different team.
Absolutely. I mean, also, like, it's ridiculous, but Richard Jefferson's like better defensively for them than Kevin Love.
Is there
great winner?
I don't want to get too mired in tactics or whatever, but is there like a version of this team where Kevin Love is like the sixth man?
I think for the rest of this series? I think he had, like, the bench, the Cavs bench, like, itself, they pretty much played their starters the whole game.
Yeah.
Like, if Kevin Love was their bench and, like, they just ran the offense through Kevin Love, like, we talked about, you guys.
Like, why not take LeBron out, play Kevin, do you know what I mean, and stagger them like that it be, like, where, like, you run the offense through Kevin Love when
LeBron's offense, Kevin Love's offense.
Yeah, why not?
It's an interesting idea. I just think defensively, Kevin Love, like, can't be the linchpin of your five-man unit. Particularly against the Warriors. Like,
I don't think that Kevin and Kyrie can play a lot together because that's just a 3-on-5 every time down the floor. Yep. But I don't know. He's still in my mind. Like, I still remember going to see him at Staples like 3 years ago and watching him get like 45 and 25 against the Clippers. Like, he is not a bad basketball player.
No. Just looks disconnected.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just don't know how to use him really in the system.
Another winner, not to belabor the Love point, was just I wanted to shout out. I just like realized that I don't feel like I've ever seen Sean Livingston play a bad game. Sometimes he's not like super like influential, but he is the designated driver of the NBA.
He's the steadiest of hands. Yeah.
I mean, he comes in, plays great defense. I was watching him, like, you ever notice a guy when he's handling the ball, you're like, this guy, like 95 people could try to take the ball from him right now and they just wouldn't even get within 3 feet of him. I'm sure he's got turnovers, but I've never seen one, you know? it was just like, I just love watching Sean Livingston on this Warriors team.
He's really fun.
I think he is my favorite Warrior.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. I like him a lot too. Feel good story. Like, just so happy for him. Seems like a great guy. He's also very charitable. I think he like gives a lot of money back to his hometown.
I had no idea he had played with 9 teams.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild.
That's 8 teams that are really kicking themselves.
I know, he's great. I mean, he's
including
a huge...
Cleveland.
Including Jared Jack, who's like, that's supposed to be me.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
What's Jared Jack up to this offseason? Just kicking it?
Probably just like texting LeBron.
Still on the
like,
Nets?
I should be Dante Jones.
Is he still on the Nets?
Yeah.
Ooh, that sucks.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
An abyss.
Yeah, seriously. That really hurts. Sean Livingston also is really fun to watch because he like... usually is so much bigger than the players he's guarding, so even it's just like fun. It's just
I like
to
watching
watch.
Him in the post.
Yeah he likes to like abuse dudes. Also, he gives a really good name to the mid-range jump shot. Like, a 10-footer from Sean Livingston is gold. It's as good as a 3 from Clay. I love Sean Livingston.
Any other winners and losers?
I was trying to think. Winner Larry Drew.
Ooh,
interesting.
Who had a great time.
Another Cavs assistant getting some shine.
Yeah, he had a great time on the bench last night. I feel like he has, like, I feel like he's, like, the shadow coach of that team. Like, Ty Lue's, like, a player's
guy.
He's
the new Ty Lue?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's like, behind the scenes. Like, I could easily see Larry Drew being the coach of the Cavs at some point. Like, LeBron was talking to him last night. Like, Ty Lue at one point had his arm around Kyrie, and, like, Larry Drew.
I saw that. Kyrie had his arm around Ty Lue. It was, like, very performative, like, tell me what to do, coach.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on.
And it was like more like friendly, like, I'm your teammate than you're my coach. And like Larry Drew, meanwhile, like, has the clipboard in the back. It's just a really strange thing, but big for Larry Drew.
I don't understand the Cavs. I just don't. Like, I just, like, I don't understand their team dynamics. Like, it just fluctuates so much. It just seems like a really, like, mercurial relationship, but it's a whole group of them. I just don't get it.
Should we do predictions?
Yeah. Let's pivot. Game 4, who do you like?
I think the Warriors are going to win game 4. I think it's going to be... a lot of threes. I think it's going to be a sad night for LeBron and company.
It's hard to pick. It's hard to pick the Cavs in game 4. Chris?
I am predicting a close game for once.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I think that the Cavaliers are going to win.
Wow. So you think...
I think that actually this entire series is going to come down to Clay. Because I think this is what Steph does. Like, right now, is like, he's just like probably banged up, gives you 22 or something like that. in and out of the game, like in terms of influence. But I think Clay, like as we've seen in the Western Conference Finals, like Clay's the best two-way player.
Yeah.
Maybe in, definitely on the Warriors right now, he's the best two-way player.
Clay needed to play Kyrie better last night. If he if he plays Kyrie better on defense, then I think the Warriors should win. And also that like fuels his game, I think. Like usually his best games when he's shooting really well, he's also playing defense really well.
Do you think is there any chance that we could, what's your prediction?
I still think Warriors in five.
Is there any chance in your mind that the Cavs could be the Warriors to the Warriors' Thunder in this series? So is there any chance that it's like the Warriors are up 2-0, everybody crowned them, playing the parade, blah, 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 LeBron, Kevin Love's out of town. They played really well last night, hype crowd, really aggressive. If they win on Friday, is there any creeping doubt into who's going to win this series?
If LeBron won this series, it would like cement his legacy. Like, he could argue that he's one of the greatest players of all time. He beat the best regular season team of all time. He came back from a deficit in the finals. He won with what we all think is a subpar team. If he were to come back and win this series, like, it changes the whole perception of LeBron. He probably would, like, retire. He'd probably just be like, I'm done with basketball.
Imagine? Yeah. That would be insane.
It'd be crazy. I just think that winning Game 7 in Oakland for the Cavs is so hard. Like, that's just, like, probably the hardest game ever to win.
Yeah.
The championship game. In Oakland, I don't know. So it's hard to see that. But if that happened, that'd be like just an incredible story. It would be amazing.
Do you think do you think Kerr will start the death lineup in this game? I mean, they only played 6 minutes in game three.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he needs to make that drastic of a change. If they lose game four, I think he will probably do that at home and just say, we're going to play this lineup because we know it's worked before.
What do you think? Any way for the Cavs to win in seven?
I do.
Or six?
I do.
Wow.
I don't know. I think this is like a weirdly, I think that there's like a, now I think I was really, I thought Golden State was going to sweep, but when Clay got dinged up last night, I was like, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you never really know. And I just feel like there's more shoes to drop in this series.
And there's a great clip from LeBron when he was on his Heat days, and Curry like did three hesitation dribbles. This is like when LeBron was friends with Curry and was like, you gave him three hezzies? You gave my point guard three hezzies? Like, and he's like trying to be friends with Curry, and this is like in 2014. And like, I was watching that video earlier, and I was like, LeBron used to be like so nice and like wanted to like be Curry's friend. Yeah. And then last night I saw him block that shot.
Well, that's because back when he was probably like, the Warriors will always be like the fifth seed in the West, and I'll never have to worry about
them. Now he's in zero dark 23 mode, you know?
Yeah.
Everything's different.
30's so much better with that statement. It makes it's just so sad that he called himself that, zero dark 23.
This doesn't make any sense. Thank you everyone for listening. This has been the Ringer NBA show. Don't forget to check out all of our other podcasts and theringer.com. We're writing about the playoffs every day, the finals now.
The Ringer is brought to you by Miller Lite.
The Ringer is brought to you by the Miller Lite.
I had a Miller Lite watching the game last night.
Whoa, Tate, great brand synergy. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back soon. Thanks again to our friends at Crown & Caliber. Remember, watch guys don't pay retail, and neither should you. The smartest way to buy or sell your luxury watch is using Crown & Caliber. You know what certified pre-owned means when you're purchasing a luxury automobile. Now you have the same level of confidence when buying or selling a certified pre-owned luxury watch. You could look like an NBA player with a dope Rolex. Who doesn't want that? All of Crown & Caliber's more than 5,000 certified pre-owned luxury watches go through a vigorous 45-point inspection by their in-house team of Swiss-trained watchmakers. That's pretty cool, Swiss after all. And all the watches come with a one-year warranty. Plus, they offer multiple payment and financing options. To find the perfect watch for you, visit www.crownandcaliber.com/NBA show, or to speak with one of our watch experts, go to 888-226-5795. Remember, call 888-226-5795 to learn more about Crown & Caliber. Plus now, through August 30th, listeners who enter promo code CCNBA show will receive $150 off their first luxury watch purchase with Crown & Caliber.